KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies and 36 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 68. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. The Ottoman School Board met in an electronic session Monday evening, and during which the hearings were held with regard to the proposed plans, specifications, a form of contract, and estimate of cost for phase one of the middle school, high school improvements. A second hearing was held with regard to the fiscal year 21 school budget. The board heard some more details on the rooftop HVAC or heating, ventilation, and air conditioning unit replacement from RDH Engineering President Rick Hyatt.
For phase one, Audubon High School North Gym Addition, we have two existing rooftop units in the gymnasium that apparently are only about 5 or 6 years old from our research. So those units will stay in place. There's two units above the wrestling room. Those will be removed and replaced. There is a rooftop unit that serves the locker rooms. We will remove that rooftop unit, and we are going to replace it with a energy recovery wheel for the exhaust. We will recover that energy and bring it back to an air handling unit with hot gas bypass. What that does is it will help dehumidify that air for the locker rooms and showers.
The board later set the bid letting date as May the 6th for the project. A special board meeting was tentatively set for May the 8th to open the bids. And as for the fiscal year 21 budget, it was approved after the public hearing. Superintendent Eric Traeger went over some of the details.
We had a 12.6% increase in property valuation for FY21. So that's huge. And then if you look at our tax levy, we're in that 11 to 12 range. We went from 1169 in 2020, FY20, and next year's levy will be 1190. So our levy went up just a little bit over 21 cents per thousand.
And that includes the debt service on the new general obligation bond. The Audubon School Board also approved a canvass of the votes from the March 3rd special election. A $7.5 million bond for updating and remodeling the district facilities passed at that time by a vote of 70% to 30% approximately. In his report to the board, Superintendent Traeger didn't sugarcoat the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the future financial picture.
You know, the one that comes to mind that's probably the easiest to think about is sales tax revenue. We know sales tax revenue is going to take a hit. That's going to affect our save funds a great deal going forward. It's likely that income tax revenue at the state level will be down drastically for 2020. It's also likely that we will see a financial impact on families in our community, which will affect our free and reduced lunch rate and all of those things. So the financial impact of this is going to be significant.
Traeger said also it's too early to begin discussions on how to cut services or supports for the families and students.
This is going to have an impact. This is going to affect our bottom line. This is going to probably reduce our unspent budget authority, which we worked hard to turn around. But I also think that this is a time for us to step up and say, we're going to have to make some tough financial decisions, but not today, when we figured out how we support our families and our kids through this, that's the time to do that.
Reports of a gray minivan driving recklessly and at a high rate of speed Saturday evening in Pottawatomie County resulted in the arrest of the female driver of the vehicle. The Pott County Sheriff's Office yesterday said the Pontiac minivan driven by 25-year-old Erica Ann Collins was traveling east on Highway 92. When a sheriff's deputy crested a hill near 290th Street, the van traveled across the center line of the road and swerved back into its lane as the deputy approached. It also was traveling 20 miles per hour above the posted speed limit. After the deputy turned around and flipped on his emergency lights to stop the van, the vehicle continued traveling at a high rate of speed and crossed the fog line on a couple of occasions. As the deputy turned on his sirens, the van pulled into the parking lot of the Trainer High School and struck a curb while parking. The deputy observed Collins appeared to be intoxicated and there were two small children in the back seat. Collins was slurring her words and appeared to have recently been crying, according to the report. Once inside the patrol car where the deputy was obtaining information from Collins, he detected the smell of alcohol coming from her. She was later arrested on the aforementioned charges and children were picked up by a family member. And a man being held in the Douglas County, Nebraska jail was transported to Pottawatomie County Monday morning to address a warrant for a probation violation. 35-year-old Nolan Lee Al-Jadu was booked into the Pott County jail. The Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported the arrest on Sunday night of 29-year-old Danielle Renee Bammer of Bedford. Bammer was arrested at the Mills County Sheriff's Office on a warrant for probation violation. Her bond was set at $1,000. A traffic stop Sunday in Shambaugh resulted in a man being arrested on drug charges. Page County Sheriff's Department says 50-year-old Stephen William Wells of College Springs was arrested for driving while license barred. The canine Rayco was then called to the scene and deployed for a free air sniff. Rayco indicated the presence of a controlled substance in the vehicle that was registered to Cassandra Haug of Glenwood. A subsequent search of the vehicle indicated marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Stephen Wells was subsequently charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, third or subsequent offense, and possession of paraphernalia. He later posted a $4,300 bond and was let loose from the Page County Jail pending a future court appearance. Elsewhere in news from across the state, a Buchanan County Sheriff's deputy was badly injured in a crash during a weekend pursuit. Janelle Tucker reports from Manchester.
The Iowa State Patrol says 23-year-old Deputy Dan Walter of Independence is in serious condition at University of Iowa hospitals and clinics in Iowa City, though he is awake and alert. The State Patrol says authorities became involved in a pursuit with a Manchester man. 29-year-old Kevin Croffle allegedly struck a pedestrian in Owine Saturday afternoon and left the scene with officers pursuing him through Fayette and Buchanan counties. Croffle's vehicle collided with Deputy Walter's patrol vehicle, with Croffle then trying to flee the scene on foot, but he was quickly apprehended.
And an on-duty Linn County Sheriff's deputy working at the Linn County Correction Center has tested positive for coronavirus. The sheriff's office said in a news release Monday the deputy had shown up for work at the center last Thursday evening symptom-free. But he left work near the end of his shift when he began displaying symptoms, including a high fever, and was tested. He is to remain in self-isolation until he meets guidelines for returning to work. The sheriff's office says the deputy didn't expose any inmates to the virus, but that 11 co-workers were exposed, and those co-workers will continue to report for duty as long as they remain asymptomatic. An Iowa City man has been shot to death, and police are offering a $1,000 reward for information in the case. The police said in a news release the shooting happened Monday morning just before 10 a.m. when officers were called to the area for a report of a shooting. Arriving officers found a man later identified as 21-year-old Kawan Winters of Iowa City inside of a home suffering from gunshot wounds. Winters later died from his injuries. No arrests have been reported as of early today, but investigators do not believe the shooting was random. Police are asking anyone with information on the incident to contact Crime Stoppers. And a Milwaukee real estate company has agreed to pay $75,000 to the state of Iowa for violating asbestos regulations. The Iowa Attorney General's office announced Monday that Phoenix Investors LLC agreed to the consent order last Friday. The violations occurred at a former Maytag building in Newton, which was used to power the former Maytag appliance factory. The state alleged that Phoenix and a second company, JB2 Services, committed multiple violations, including not inspecting for asbestos before renovating the building. The state's lawsuit against JB2, also of Milwaukee, remains active. The news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.